We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
I know the midday guys are more the analytics show. When we were at Score House in Arizona, we were all dreaming about what trip the shows would want to take. Mac and I wanted to go to Denver for the legal weed. Mully wanted to go to Bears Raiders in London. And Dan and Connor wanted to go to Sloan Sports Analytics to learn about analytics and sports.
The key to understanding the game is sabermetrics.
Huh? The field was developed by statistician Bill James.
I made baseball as much fun as doing your taxes.
Well, MIT has graded their favorite trade of any American pro sport of the last year based on analytics. What the best trade to the analytics community was: the Raiders trading away Khalil Mack.
I am a stormtrooper.
You are a huge nerd.
Man, what a ridiculous headline. Can't wait to talk to Dan and Connor about that tomorrow in transition. Defend your nerds now, nerds. Sloan.
What's the square root of his apartment?
You gotta admit, that was a good conversation at Score House. Those are the three shows. Summed up pretty nicely.
Enjoy the rest of the convention.
Amazing resource.
You learn a lot. You know, you watch through it and it washes over you.
Bet you didn't line up to hear this one.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
McNeil and Parkins Show, afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
And then I forgot to ask him about it in transition. God, I suck. McNeil and Parkins on The Score with Spiegs in for Mac, who is still with his father in the hospital. Appreciate you coming in, buddy.
At least you didn't get production that brought attention to your forgetfulness. Oh, wait a minute, you did.
That's okay. Yeah. It's on me.
So I saw that headline but did not delve deeper. How did they decide that the Khalil Mack trade analytically was the best move of the offseason for the Raiders? Because they weren't going to win anyway, so they got rid of the money?
They went from 6 wins to 4 wins, so their own draft pick got better. They also got 2 extra first-round picks in the future, and they saved money. So they got draft picks and saved money, and their own draft pick got better. Analytics, it loves...
Interesting.
It loves draft picks and money.
Well, sure. You know, obviously the incredibly macho football types who have railed against analytics as they've entered football front offices will do so from the basic, you know, nerds versus jocks place. And that can be enough. But also the nature of football, teams can get better in a year.
Correct.
Like, it's not a, hey, let's strip this all down and build this all back up and 3 years of not prioritizing winning on the big league level while we really work on that farm system. You know, it's just so the analytics don't make as much sense.
No, really. I mean, the Khalil Mack being a first team all pro and the Bears winning 12 games, it's a pretty good argument on the other side. Call me old fashioned.
That might just be short term.
It's true.
That was a pretty good short term.
God. Yeah. There's probably nothing that really could happen, right, for Bears fans to view that as a bad trade. Guess devastating injury, and he's never good again. But
you already saw it for a year
to know that it was the right move.
And already his presence, along with Matt Nagy, has led them to have a culture that players want to be a part of. I mean, that's the thing. That's so fun.
Yeah.
To hear guys say, well, you know, I could have gone other places, but I really wanted to be here. Where? Where exactly again? Hold on. Did you say you wanted to be here?
Even if it's not true, it's so nice to hear. Because I'm sure that if HaHa Clinton Dix would have gotten Earl Thomas's offer.
Well, sure.
Right. Like he's going somewhere else. But push comes to shove. Choose the team that gives you a chance to win, and it looks fun.
Right. But that stuff has always been true, you know, all things being equal. You know, it's like you can be the White Sox and not offer an equal deal and expect that the culture/family that you have presented is going to put you over the edge. Sorry about that, Tanny.
Joe Sheehan.
Thanks a lot. I hadn't thought about that in a couple hours.
You know it wasn't a couple hours, because five of the funniest tweets that I saw today were Mike Trout reactions with the White Sox as the butt of the joke.
Joe Sheehan saying that he feels bad for Kenny Williams, who was all set to offer 8 for $190 to Trout in 2 years, is beautiful.
Rob Hart, our colleague over at BBM, who noticed the Trout sign, he said, wait a minute, you can just sign guys without hiring their entire family first?
Boy,
it's just... Just that gut punch towards the end of your White Sox offseason, it lingers. It really does.
This hour on The Score is brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors. Transform your home with beauty and craftsmanship of Marvin Windows and Doors. You were talking about like what you give the game and what the game can give back to you when we were talking about the popularity of it and the growth and star making.
Yeah, because you were saying, like, you know, baseball is not going to build stars. It's not going to do that. I'm like, no, but it offers you so much more and so many different things. And if you give yourself to the games, you are going to get something out of it. Yes.
Locally, baseball hasn't given us much this offseason. You know?
Grim.
Grim? So it's just giving
mostly
you the bad.
Mostly grim. Mostly grim.
Not Justin Grim.
Whenever I, have tweeted anything or said stuff about how excited I am about opening day, I have a relentless volume of texts or tweets saying, I have not been this unexcited about opening day in a long, long time. And that has seemingly been... for both sides of town. I don't know where that stands for Cubs fans right now. I haven't taken that temperature, but I think Sox fans, it's still there.
Yeah, I'm actually more interested in it from the Sox perspective than I am the Cubs perspective, because we know what the Cubs are. They should be good, and if they're not, there will be huge changes, and if they are good, then it's just an extension of this window of unprecedented winning in franchise history. And we know that they are capable of being great, and it's just a question of whether or not they are. But... man, I've been struggling with it from the Sox perspective, because intellectually I feel like I know, right? It's Moncada's got to be good and show you that he was worthy of being the foundational piece of that trade. And Giolito and Lopez and Rodon, like, where are they going to fit in the long-term plan? But they're not going to win this year, but the young players have to develop and the prospects have to develop and come up through the farm system. And when Eloy gets here, that'll be exciting. But it's another year of prospect development. I get it, but it's not exciting. And after last year, how poorly it went, the optimism is also gone, where now it's almost met with cynicism.
See, I think the optimism was easily accessible towards the end of last year. And going into the offseason, when you saw Rodon take the steps that he has, you saw other players take some steps, you realized that Eloy was going to be a stud whenever he eventually got there. Before Kopech blew out the arm.
I was just going to ask
maybe
you.
Maybe that's the demarcation point of when the optimism started to fall away. Because right up until then, it had felt like a really good moment in the rebuild. But then the offseason has been a gut punch because they embarrassed themselves on the free agent market. And it sure seems like the people who hate the team more now are the Sox fans as opposed to the Sox haters. Like Sox, hardcore Sox fans are angrier than Sox haters, it seems to me.
Well, Sox haters meaning non-Sox fans, meaning Cubs fans who hate the Sox?
Sure.
Well, because I think that honestly has waned in the last 4 or 5 years anyway, just with the Cubs being good. I was never a Sox hater. Two of the guys who stood up at my wedding are Sox fans. I celebrated in 2005. I was mad that I was off at college as a freshman, not here for a Chicago title. I've never been a Sox hater. I like the crosstown bickering and argument and making fun of each other. Like, sure, I've gotten my first base coach jokes in and, like, you know, all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But it's good natured. I root for the Sox because it's good for my friends in the city and whatever. But since the Cubs have gotten good, I see no reason to hate the Sox. What reason could there possibly be anymore?
You know, I think it's more the other side, that the miserable misanthrope Sox fans, the Westmont Joes of the world. That's a texter who has frequently texted to make fun of the Sox before any of us could.
Sure.
When they come up in conversation.
They're a punching bag, definitely.
But for their own fans, like, those ranks have grown like crazy. I've spoken to people who are the most ardent White Sox fans I know. Guys who've had blogs for years, guys who've just been all about it, who said, I think this broke me. I think the Machado thing broke me. Were direct words. I was like, wow.
That's really
dark, dark place for people who love this team.
Okay, well, so let's talk to our resident good Sox fan, because Mac is the resident bad Sox fan. Let's talk to our resident good Sox fan, Chris Tannehill. Opening day is 9 days away, Tanny.
It is.
Okay. How are you feeling?
That's about where I'm at with it. Well, in regards to what you guys were talking about last season, I seem to remember, I think it was Rick Hahn said that the second year of the rebuild was going to be the hardest, because it's after you've stripped everything down and you're selling everything off for parts. That's like the easiest part of it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just the shedding of the you know, whatever. But year two was going to be really hard. But I found last year was pretty enjoyable at the ballpark. You were there with me on Kopech night, and there's lots of fun moments along the way. Not once last year did I ever have a miserable time at a game, or was certainly watching a game, because it was not good baseball. But you knew
what your team was doing.
Exactly. You had
signed up for it. You were ready for it.
Exactly.
And there were some pieces every once in a while, and you got to look forward to Kopech, and some guys got better, like Tim Anderson. Like, right. there was some stuff to enjoy.
Exactly, along the way. But this year, you know, I was thinking about, you know, usually around here, people are buzzing on both sides about opening day coming, and you could feel it. You're counting down the hours, the minutes, and this year I just feel like it hasn't been that way. And I was thinking to myself last night, I said, self, you know, I'm usually a guy that first day tickets go on sale for opening day, I'm in. You know, usually take the wife. I've gone every opening day on the South Side since 2003 consecutively. And of course, there was many before that, skipping school, you know, things like that. But this year, I don't feel the excitement. I don't know if it's mostly the Machado thing still. I think it has a lot to do with it.
How about Kopech being hurt? Now Dane Dunning being hurt?
You know, maybe they're all smaller pieces to the pie. You know, I think I've gotten over the Kopech thing, because you have the assurance of Dylan Cease most likely coming up at the end of the year. So you kind of can switch those two parts out, have something to be excited for. You know, I should be excited about Eloy coming up in late April or May or whatever. But as far as, like, you know, the year, I think it's a stressful year, because, like, now it's time for all the prospects to start producing. And, you know, plus it's sitting out. I don't know if I want to sit out in the snow again like I did last year. Last year was the first year I took my whole family out, and we had a good time for the most part. But then it was snowing on opening day. I mean, we couldn't stay the whole game. And, you know, it's a whole thing this year. I'm not particularly excited about going. I haven't purchased my tickets yet.
Wait a minute, he's the good Sox fan.
That's what I'm saying.
See, this is what I'm saying.
It feels really weird, because usually I'm the guy that's committed no matter what. And even if you know your team is going to suck, it doesn't matter, because it's baseball, babe. You know, so like I'm usually that guy as well. Like, I'll have fun no matter what. But this year, it's still, I don't know if it's the Machado thing still too fresh in my mind.
Is there a chance you actually won? So 16 consecutive opening days you've been there. There's a chance you won't go?
Yeah. But part of it too, I think, you know, you get older, and I'd have to take a day off of work, you know, which doesn't help. But I've done it before. It hasn't been a problem, you know, and I think there's a legit chance I may not go this year.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, man. Those ranks have grown.
And I want to know if I'm alone on that. You know, I'm wondering if there's other Sox fans who are not the curmudgeon Sox fans who, like, you know, never go anyway, you know, but the loyal ones who will be out there on opening day having a good time no matter what. I'm wondering if there's people that are feeling the same way that I am.
312-644-6767. I'd love to hear from people. Tanny is speaking to you as a Sox fan right now, because I would think when Eloy's up, maybe that's your opening day. But, you know, maybe
part of it is also, you know, I'm already taking a road trip to Yankee Stadium like a couple weeks into the year. So I wonder if that's part of it, too. That's going to be like my opening day.
They might be pretty good, that team.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if that's part of it. But, yeah, as far as games this year.
If we gave White Sox a chance to hit the simulate button on the season and just pass it by, would you go ahead and hit that button? Tanny, I mean, I know that you'd be denied watching Eloy show up and do his thing.
Yeah, just from a baseball perspective, taking the part out where my daughter loves going to games with me, that part is awesome no matter what kind of team is out there on the field. But in terms of strictly baseball and the rebuild and the future of the White Sox, yeah, I kind of wish you would just tell me what happens. I hope no one gets hurt. Uh-huh. Tell me who developed, who didn't, and we'll move on with it already.
And let's see if Kopech is ready to come back at a well-timed beginning of 2020, and maybe they can hit on it for free agent next year, and you get
who though?
I don't know. No, they had their guy.
Yeah, next. I mean, Arenado's off the market.
Yep.
You don't Bogarts next year, or is that the year after?
Bogarts. I think Bogarts is coming. I think Bogarts is next year.
He is next year.
I believe
okay.
so.
All right, yeah. next year. I'm sorry. I thought he was 2 years.
Gregorius is on that list.
Yeah.
He'll make Sox fans euphorious.
That's correct. Josh Donaldson's on a 1 year deal.
I'd be surprised.
Prime, right.
Assuming that the financial freeze is off from the Cubs by next year, I'd be surprised if Xander Bogarts is not a big time target for the Cubs.
Theo drafted him or signed him.
Yes, I think McLeod found him, and just you talk about a contact hitter, very solid defensively, and Addison Russell's long term future here no longer exists. I believe so. I've thought that for a while that Bogarts would be a good fit up there.
Non off the field related, just strictly baseball related.
That's
Russell,
yeah.
Great defender, but
no, you need more.
Got absolutely no way, shape, or form has he gotten better in the batter's mm-hmm. box. He's regressed.
You know, Bogarts would be a nice compliment to a team full of sluggers.
312-644.
What's the sign we're going to make when the Red Sox are in town, Parkins?
Who? You got to come up with something for nothing really rhymes with Bogarts.
X marks the spot and like put it in a Cubs logo. I don't know.
Sounds great, guys.
Danny's going to quit this show. It's McNeil and Parkins.
Keep doing it.
Don't Bogart that bat, my friend.
Oof.
Yeah, sorry. Love you.
All right, optimism or lack thereof on both sides of town. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
I wouldn't say I compare to Chris Sale or Jose Quintana, but me taking the ball on game number one doesn't make me those guys. But like I said, it's an honor to take the ball that day, and I'm just ready to compete.
Carlos Rodon, opening day starter for the White Sox. Let's give you something right now. Caller number 9 on the Scores Contest line at 312-591-6700. You win tickets to Willie Nelson's Outlaw Music Festival, June 28th at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Caller number 9, 312-591-6700. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Wolves. Only 5 regular season home games remain for the first place Chicago Wolves at Allstate Arena. Celebrate the 25th anniversary season with free parking courtesy of Kia, as well as discounted concessions. For ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Texters seem pretty split on the White Sox idea. Some people say, hey, we're still early in the rebuild. Eloy comes up this year. I didn't want Machado anyway. Yeah, there's been some bad luck with injuries, but still have confidence in the rebuild.
Yeah, I see a few of those. I see a lot of this kind of thing. Brett the Web Guy. Remember I got Brett the Web Guy?
Love Brett the Web Guy.
Exact same feeling as Tanny. Huge fan of the Sox. Won't be at opening day. This will be the first one I'm skipping in 10 years. Wow, and this one, 40-year Sox fan. 40 years. The past few years have drained a whole bunch of my excitement. The past few years? I am pumped about Eloy, but it's taking much more effort to get excited about the season this year. And then there was one unsolicited from earlier in the show that I kept. I can't wear my White Sox hat anymore after the fraud they pulled on their fans in the offseason with Machado. See, I think that's too far. I don't think it was a fraud. They really wanted him. They just screwed the pooch on it. And that to me is even more hurtful and embarrassing, is that they really wanted it. They just didn't do it right.
Right. It's one thing. It's one thing to get outbid, and one thing for someone to not want you because someone else made a much better offer. But for you to say that you made a better offer when you right. didn't shows, are you not good enough at this?
Right. If you logged on to Twitter once in the past 4 months, you knew he wanted $300 million.
Right.
You know, and then they didn't offer him that. If they had, he would have been here 2 months ago.
Well, and there's also to compare the rebuilds again on the North and South side, when the Cubs decided to do it, they changed everybody, and they brought in people who had been successful.
Mm.
The White Sox, they just changed the direction of the tanker. Like, Kenny Williams was here. Rick right. Hahn was here.
It's the same guys you're trusting.
They're just doing it differently. And so there's some cynicism, I think, that comes with that. And the part that they did that uh-huh. built a lot of the optimism, I don't want to say that anybody could do it.
Well, they did replace Doug Lauman with Nick Hostetler.
Yep.
So that was a big thing at the time.
Absolutely.
Hired Chris Getz.
Huge move. And Hostetler, what's interesting about that is all the trades they made, so many of them were guys from the 2016 draft, like Blake Rutherford and others. Like, so many of the prospects they grabbed were from that draft, where Hostetler was a guy who like really knew that draft class very well.
But so far, the dividends of anything that's been the same or changed, either way, just with this rebuild, Hayden, don't you think that if you were the GM of the team and we said, hey, trade Jose Quintana, Eloy Jimenez, and Adam Eaton, don't you think that you would have had a top five farm system in baseball?
You probably could have come up with that.
You
need to see dividends.
They've done the easy part, and now it's the hard part. The hard parts. Step two, development. Step three, supplementing it with marquee stars. Step four, winning.
But that supplement with marquee stars is what you got a big offseason to discuss and dissect, and then they crapped the bed.
Yeah.
They completely did.
Let me just ask you this then.
Yeah.
Am I missing anything on the what to be excited about for this season? Obviously Eloy, obviously young prospects, hopefully being good.
It depends how much detail you want to go in, and it's still so theoretical. But I'll say this, the guy whose voice you just heard, Carlos Rodon, took a massive step last year. Massive
step.
And not just that, but his changeup percentage went up an awful lot. He has the ability to throw that at any point in the count, especially early in the count, and get, you know, crappy contact, which will extend his ability to go deeper into start. All that kind of stuff. Like, the maturation that takes a while, it hit him. And if you hear him talk, I think he's a tremendous pro already with still room to grow.
Yeah, and just 26.
Yeah, and just the way he talks about, like, man, it's time for us to play better. It's time for us to do something. You know, him and Tim Anderson, I think of them together, side by side, in terms of guys who made definitive strides last year, still have more room to grow, and you should see them be very good players arcing in the right direction. So is that enough for you? Not really, right? Because you've seen those guys, and they're not new enough, and you're waiting on Eloy, and I think Luis Robert is the guy who excites me the most in the entire system, maybe even including Eloy, but you're not going to see him for a while. So there are details and things to discuss, but you need games. Sox fans need games. You need actual games to be played and to give yourself to them, like we were talking about in the bigger picture of if you give yourself to baseball, it'll give you stuff back. Man, watching actual games will remind you of the stuff that you're actually trying to see. And not just one game, but like a week of games.
And that'll come. Like, I firmly believe that. Okay, you missed out on Manny Machado, and that sucks, and it was a gut punch, and I was right there with you. But you weren't winning anything if you got him, and you still have the money, and you still have all of the prospects. Like, I don't believe that we're going to see some huge dip in Sox ratings this year. There's not that much farther to go down. I don't think we're going to see that much of a dip in Sox fan attendance this year.
I know it's easy to say you weren't going to win anything with him, but they would have been some people's fashionable, cute pick to break out for that final wild card spot in the American League.
Okay.
And at least you would have been able to look at an early winning streak with some optimism and dream. And that's what the season is for, is to dream a little bit along the way.
Right, everyone's got a chance on opening day. That sort of thing.
Yeah, well, and to go ahead and feel that in month two or month three, like, I wonder if they're going to stick around, and maybe they won't. If they had Machado here and things were starting to feel good and you saw a streak like that, man, the feeling would have just been very, very exciting in a different way.
I hope I'm right about it, though, that the people who are still there that are that core of Sox fans that are passionate and connected to it, mm-hmm. and even when they're bad for a decade are still watching 100 games a year, I hope that missing out on Manny Machado didn't break that for you. Like, it wasn't the final straw, because you were never going to win a World Series by only signing marquee guys. The key to this thing is still, does the rebuild work? Are the homegrown prospects good enough? You went in all in on starting pitching, right? You had 7-8 legitimate pitching prospects.
Well stop right there.
Three or four of them hit.
Well, already you got two guys who are now injured.
I know.
You're counting on Dylan Cease, who's had his Tommy John already, but you know, there's a lot of times people get their second, and you look at the Mets and the way they built around arms and how hazardous that can be.
Well, right. It can. I'm with you. That's the whole point, though, right? It could fail or it could succeed, but the success or failure of this rebuild was going to be on your homegrown prospects more so than it was going to be on any free agent or two, because they're not the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Cubs, right? You're not going to be able to build and have that many signings of that caliber. So it still is going to come down to Eloy, Moncada,
yeah.
Robert, Kopech, Cease, Dunning, Hansen,
Giolito. The toxic soup that's left over after the Machado miss mixes in a lot of the things that we're talking about. Mixes in the general desirability salute of the organization and the fact that Kenny Williams is still here. And still, has a voice. The guy, and just like you said earlier, that the same guys are being trusted to do it. Like when the Bulls switched direction, and their same guys were being trusted to do it. You know, so
yeah, of course. Well, there are similarities between the two. Obviously.
Kenny talking in the way he did, and the timing of how he did multiple times after that thing, and trying to tell you that it was, you know, that they were in the right, and, you know, tripling down on his confidence and his edge was just freaking ugly and insulting. So I think all those factors have combined to make the toxic soup.
Let's hear from some other Sox fans. Justin in Plainfield's on the score. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. I think the only reason there's not more anger on the airwaves is because the White Sox have been so irrelevant. I mean, they're like Chicago Fire irrelevant. Since 2008, this team hasn't won a division. They haven't won 80 games since 2012. And what frustrates me the most was I was on Twitter refreshing every 20 seconds when the Machado sweepstakes were happening. And what Ryan Pace did for the Bears was they're on a Trubisky rookie deal. So he went out and spent all the money on Khalil Mack, and not a single Bears fan cares that they gave him the highest defensive contract ever. You have all the guys you just named, Kopech and Eloy and Robert, all on these rookie deals. They could have given Machado $350 million, and in baseball, it doesn't matter. The organization is worth $1.6 billion. Mm-hmm. They draw 12 fans a game. As a White Sox fan, like, zero interest in watching this. They screwed this so badly, guys. It's just so – obviously, you can tell I'm frustrated, but it's just – they've been so irrelevant for me, I'm not going to watch anyway, so it's done.
So you're not watching the day that Eloy comes up?
Now I'm going to sound like a hypocrite.
You will. You
see,
will.
That's what I'm saying. You're mad now, but you will watch. I guarantee it.
But I also am old enough to remember Felix Pea and Corey Patterson being these amazing prospects. Eloy could be great. I hope he is, but he's got to be Babe Ruth for this thing to work because Moncada was the second coming, and he's just been okay so far.
Yeah, worse
so
than that.
That's the thing. All these prospects have to be hits because if any one of them aren't, guys are signing, teams are signing their own. The Trout deal today made me sick all over again.
Yeah, you know, and what's interesting.
Thanks for the call.
And I know you and I were on together when the Bryce Harper deal had just been announced, and we were talking about how every team in baseball could have afforded that deal.
Yep.
Because of the economics of the sport. You look at the Mike Trout deal, and I know 430 stops you in your tracks, but if you run the numbers, as so many different websites did today, and I think it was Beyond the Box Score who had somebody who ran the numbers, if you looked forward and predicted Trout's future based on what he's done, what comparable players have done, allowed for some decay due to age, and took the money and the value of his wins and his wins above replacement, that his next 10 years should be worth about $1.1 billion. So that $430 million, the Angels are technically saving $700 million. They're spending $700 million below reasonable value. Based on the math of it. This is the absurdity of the sport, the absurdity of the income, the bankable income for a team like the Angels.
It does feel like an inflated valuation of a single win above replacement to me.
Sure it does. But like,
yeah.
But it goes back to the point that parsing or like, you know, setting a line in the sand that says, I don't feel like giving you $25 million 9 years down the road, and then again 10 years down the road. Deciding to do that from the White Sox front office and ownership is freaking absurd and insulting. You have to pay some bad money on the end of these deals. You have to.
If you want them.
If you want them.
If you want.
And they wanted him.
They say they want him.
These guys get what they want. You can't try to do it on your terms if you actually want them. Give them what they want.
Jeff in Chicago Ridge is on the score. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'd want every Sox fan to Google Silver Chalice Ventures. You'll notice in Boulder, Colorado, they invented it, Reinsdorf and Brooke Breuer, to use that money to put in payroll. They have an office in Boulder, Colorado, Chicago, and New York. They each grossed $100 million. But in 2016, in Crane's business, Reinsdorf said they're going to instead use that money for the investors. They have money. Last year, they had an $80 million payroll. They ranked 30th. I know they don't draw a lot of fans, but anytime Kenny Williams ever has the nerve to come on the Score, I want to get through and talk to them because I know their financial situation as much as anybody. Silver Chalice Ventures, it's a digital marketing firm. All your college basketball, it's massive. They started BAM. Reinsdorf helped start up MLB BAM, where each team got $50 million a year and a half ago. They have money. I even think they're probably worth more than that, $1.6 billion, like the other caller said. I just want all the Sox fans to Google Silver Chalice Ventures. You will see that they are making money. And the only reason that's not put in payroll, they can easily afford a $200 million payroll. I know they're not as big as the Cubs as a cash cow, but they have money.
Well, and they wanted to spend it. They wanted to spend it. They just drew an arbitrary line in the sand that burned them and pissed people off.
More than Machado. They needed multiple players. Mm. Offense costs money. When we score 2 runs a game, 3 runs a game, they keep talking pitching. I understand pitching is important, but offense wins. If you score 5 runs a game, you don't have to have the other guy, your own guy, pitch a shutout. Offense costs money. That's why we're always the bottom 2 or 3 in runs scored, because offense costs money. We're going to have Eloy Jimenez and Abreu, maybe Alonso. They'll be walking around them.
You know, everything costs money. Whatever you don't have costs money. The Cubs business plan was to develop hitters, and then pay for pitching. So that's the inverse.
And,
you know,
and the Sox are doing it the other way, which feels riskier.
Right. Well, the Mets were doing it the other way at the exact same time. The Cubs were doing it that way, and we held them up side by side, starting with that 2015 NLCS appearance. And who's it gone better for since?
No one can claim that any baseball team doesn't have money. That's why the argument of, oh, the baseball failing or dialing. Oh, it's growing. It's growing.
Because of the way that revenue is shared,
yeah,
they all have it.
So it's not dying. It's growing as a business. But is the fan base shrinking a little bit? Yeah. Well, also, you would have helped your fan base a lot if you would have gone out and got Manny Machado. So there's ramifications on the Mike Trout signing for some high-profile Cubs who are all weighing in on it. We'll hear from them next on The Score. All right, 1 hour from now, we'll be in our second segment with Eli Hershkovich. He'll help us fill out our brackets, Hubarkish, at 4 o'clock. We're going to qualify people for a shot at Cubs season tickets before we're out of here. This Thursday, McNeil and Parkins, we got a Dos Equis broadcast at McGee's Tavern and Grill. That's 950 West Webster. Dan and Connor will be there. We will be there. The first round of the tournament tips off Thursday, March 21st. The Score, Dos Equis have you covered. Join us for the madness at McGee's Tavern and Grill in Lincoln Park for a special broadcast. 9-1 with Bernstein and McKnight, 1-6 with McNeil and Parkins. Watch the tournament. Enjoy Dos Equis specials all day. Thanks again to McGee's for bringing in buffalo chicken sliders wings and tater tots and everything that they brought in today.
Just evil, frankly, for some of us who are trying to eat well, to come in and see a giant tray of mac and cheese and all the wings and stuff, and you just hammering it.
I had
12:46 or so, just parking, hammering / shoveling whatever visual you want with the food.
I didn't have any breakfast, so that was the first food I consumed all day, and I don't like to consume during the show, and so I just tried to get as many wings down my face as I possibly could before we started.
It's fun to watch.
I'm sure it was.
It's really satisfying.
You are looking great, and you're on the Weight Watchers thing right now?
I got to tell you, the Weight Watchers is working very nicely in my life. And it's not. Some of that is due to the nature of the app and the system. It's very simple. And it's, you know, you can really have what you want as long as you write it down. I mean, that was my first thought when the wife said, hey, would you do Weight Watchers with me? I said, how will that affect my ability to eat whatever the hell I want? How will that affect that? Turns out it does affect it.
I would think so.
It's like I'm bringing a lifelong struggle and a life of self-examination and actual genuine work on this particular issue in my life. I'm bringing that to the table here, and it's actually I'm doing well on it. I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying. I said it. I'm enjoying Weight Watchers. So, and I can be bought, Weight Watchers.
Well, you'd be a great endorser for it. How it works is you can eat whatever you want, but it measures the quantity for you? It's like quantity control?
It's a points system. So like boneless, skinless chicken breast, 0 points. I've been hammering some boneless, skinless chicken breast.
Sure.
I baked a cod today. That's what I did with my mid-morning. I baked a cod.
It is cod, Kevin Harlan.
I had a lot of it, and I'm going to have the rest of it for dinner. 0 points. Just hammer that thing.
How was it?
Cod! I don't know that. What is that? Cod.
Oh, we got a backup.
AFC Championship game.
Can we get full context, please? This is Kevin Harlan's call. NFC Championship game, right? NFC Championship?
AFC.
AFC.
NFC?
See, this is what happens when you stop being on the radio every day, is sometimes you just miss stuff completely. It just goes away.
So we had Kevin Harlan on the week of the Super Bowl and played this call for him because that was the game-winning kick in the NFC Championship game. And he gave us an, it is COD! But he's like, no, it is good! And we're like, don't think it is. And so we'll give you full context here as we pull it. But yeah, this is Kevin Harlan's final call of the 0 points on Weight Watchers, the baked, the love, not Trout, not Mike Trout, who signed $430 million.
No, that would work too if I could get it.
Yeah, not salmon, but of course it is cod. We are
Greg Zuerlein, who's had one game-winning field goal against Green Bay in the Coliseum earlier this year, a 48. Like we said, he's kicked more 50-yard field goals than anybody since 2012. He's got a 57-yarder right here. If he hits it, the Rams win and they're going to the Super Bowl. The timeout by the Saints just taken. The long snap will come from Jake McQuaid. The holder is Johnny Hecker, the punter. It's on the near hash. 57-yarder for the Super Bowl. Ball put down. Right-footed kick is up. End over end arching up, and it is caught! He got it! The Rams win! The Rams are going to the Super Bowl!
Without a doubt, that's caught.
Right?
100%.
That is 100%.
There's no way that's not caught.
It is caught!
That's not even a G.
Not even close.
There's no G within miles of that thing. And there's no second O. At all.
God!
And he just stood by good when he was on with us. We played him the call, and he's like, I'm saying, it is good.
But no. It is God!
Kevin, were you stuck between words? What happened?
No, it was good. I said good.
We loved that call so much.
God!
No, I said good.
It is God!
It is cod.
It is cod.
And I baked the hell out of one today.
Okay, so 0 points.
0 points. 0 points.
Three for
cod.
Greg Zuerlein's cod. Zero for yours.
He got more points for his cod than I had for mine today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so.
So, yeah, Weight Watchers, it works, man. I mean, there's some texters saying, I'm down 19 points on Weight Watchers since January. Keep it up, man. Just the points. Yeah, I'm trusting.
Wait, do you lose pounds or points? I'm confused. The guy's down 19 points?
Count points. Lose pounds is how it's supposed to go. I'm down like 9 pounds in 3 weeks. You know,
you can tell.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was already doing
okay. Down.
I was doing okay, but like I had plateaued for a while. So.
Are you three spins? Slight plus. I'd have right in there.
Slight plus.
That's good, man.
Slight plus.
That's down.
Which is too damn much. But you know, I'll be less very soon.
How's the scotch on the point system?
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. Okay.
I may forget to count some of those at night. Oh boy, was I supposed to put that in? I put the first one in. Is that enough?
Is it that bad for you?
Yes.
In terms of the Weight Watcher part.
Well, really, in terms of everything.
Yeah,
Like, go see a doctor, Shep. See a specialist of any kind. Tell him you're having a lot of scotch. See what kind of reaction you get. Whether it's a heart specialist, a liver specialist, hell, a prostate person might have some thoughts.
A general practitioner.
Anybody. Any kind of.
A podiatrist.
A therapist.
Yeah, right.
Anybody.
Any ist.
Any high-level ist probably thinks the amount of scotch you're having is a bad idea.
Which is really, I mean,
oh,
come
God,
on.
It's delicious.
Way to take the fun out of scotch, ists.
I know.
Like,
seriously.
Come on.
I mean, what? Yes, I know.
What am I supposed to be doing?
Well, you know what you're supposed to be doing is having one at the end of the day. perhaps sitting there on the balcony with the ball game going. Here comes baseball, baby. Here it comes. Sitting there on the balcony or on the couch or in your comfy chair, having that one brown liquor and sipping it gingerly and loving it. And just not letting it turn into three.
Yeah, but what happens when it's gone? Just water?
No. You have another one. You have another one, and you don't put it in the Weight Watchers app.
You only live once.
Correct.
You know?
It's for how long? That seems to be in question.
Oh, I see. Man, come on. You've got... Would you rather live to be 75 and have enjoyed your 75 years eating chicken parmesan, drinking scotch, having the occasional Ben and Jerry's pint? Or would you rather live to be 83 and enjoying none of those things?
Good choice. Good random choice. 83. I was going to say.
Honestly, are those 8 years worth never having scotch, Ben and Jerry's,
well,
and chicken
parmesan?
75.
So
did
Ruben
someone
will
help
be...
you with this number, or you're just throwing it out
just
there?
Just throwing it out there. I don't know. I'm no ist.
A difference of 8 years. You'll still live to be 75
right.
If you live a completely unhealthy lifestyle.
So you just,
I don't know.
You asked me to choose between dying when my son is 34 or when my son is 41.
That's right.
So, yeah, that changes the entire perspective. Hence, me and Weight Watchers hanging out
okay.
together.
So those 7 years or 8 years are worth no Ben and Jerry's? Okay, well, like Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had it, though. I've had it. That's
yeah.
the thing. Like, a lot of the stuff that I'm not having, I've done that. Like,
That's true.
I know how Bugles taste. They are absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
I don't need to have them
highly
anymore.
Addictive.
Like, oh, my God.
You're saying that scotch is addictive. Bugles, that's who you need to consult a physician about.
Well,
when's
yes.
the last time you eat, like, not a half bag of Bugles? You open Bugles.
Impossible.
And it's like,
impossible.
At minimum, half of those are gone.
Not those kind. Oh,
hey,
God.
You took my Bugles. Hey.
That's what he played in the bleachers, Fox. That was my job. That's what I brought to the table. It was great. We could have that. Cutting that one's from the Grange Park, era. Any excuse.
Yeah, go in the Browns.
Any excuse.
You look great, man. Seriously.
Thanks, babe.
You
I'll tell you what it is. It's the not having Bugles. That's pretty much. And,
perfect.
And go ahead and counting at least one of the scotches.
Hear from Chris Bryant next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.